All right, good morning. All right. If you want to turn your Bible, read Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. We'll read verse 13 and 14. Lord, we ask you to bless this service this morning. We ask that you would prepare our hearts to receive the word today. In humility, we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. when I'm asked to share an intro in the church, I'm trying to do what I do for myself when I come to church. I think we can have different attitudes. And one attitude that I think we need to have is to be intentional when we come to church. That we know where we are coming and we know we're expecting something. And I like to keep, for you to keep that in mind when you turn to Joshua chapter 5, because you know the story. They're getting ready to enter the promised land, but there'll be a lot of battles ahead of them. And the first battle will be Jericho. And in our Christian life, we know that we have things that are ahead of us. They could be good things or bad things, but it doesn't matter really. See, the question is, are we leaving those things in obedience to God? It's easy maybe to think as trials as we need God, but the good times we also need to be thankful to God. And so we need like this relationship with Him, and that's why we come to church. Like we want to hear something. And let's read the two verses here in the verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or are you our adversaries?" And so he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua falls on his face because he realizes who he's talking to. But it's interesting here because, you know, when we come facing our lives or when we come to church, we sometimes have questions that we're looking for an answer. And that could be a good thing, but God may not give us an answer. He may give us a word, which is different. Because you see, are you for us or against us? He says no. That is not an answer. I give you a multiple choice. It's not a yes or no question. It's like, are you for me? Are you against me? God says no. Like, it's not even neither. It's just no. It has nothing to do with the question I raised. And I think this is what we need to understand is, when I come here, I'm not trying to have an answer to my questions. And sometimes I do. But if I come here and I will listen to the word this morning, I may have questions, but I may not get the answer I'm looking for, or I may not even get the answer I'm not looking for, because I may not get an answer at all. And just like here is, you know, but if you look at the attitude of Joshua, the response, he's worshiping. He didn't get the answer he was looking for, but he had an attitude about it. And that's what we're talking here. And the thing is, the reason why Joshua has the right attitude about it is because when the captain of the army of the Lord says, "Now I am here, I have come." And he didn't come to answer the question, he came to take over. He came to take over. And he's, "I'm going to lead you in Jericho. I'm going to lead you in the battlefield. I'm going to lead you in the promised land." So in a way, the answer is step aside. That's the answer. You know, your questions are not relevant. My word is relevant to you. So you have questions and they'll be answered, because of course, when I'm going to lead you in the battles, you will know I'm not your adversary. You will know I'm with you, but I don't have to say that. I have to lead you in thinking differently. So it's the way, like, yes, it's okay for us to have questions. And I'm sure if you look through the Bible, you'll see many, many times that people were answered the questions when they had the dialogue with God. There is a time in our lives and that God will answer specific questions. But when He doesn't, it does not mean He doesn't have anything to say. When I don't answer your questions, maybe because I don't know what to say. Yeah, you know how many of this? Or, you know, sometimes people have answers for everything and sometimes we don't. But when we don't answer a question to each other, it's because we don't know the answer. But God does, but he just also thinks that the answer is not relevant. You know, it's about, you know, God, are you going to be on my side or are you going to be against me? And God says, no. Just And then we realize who we're dealing with, in a sense, and then we have a change of heart. And just to finish that point, if you turn with me in Psalm 130, verse 5, and I'll finish with this verse, but John, Psalm 130, verse 5. Here it says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word do I hope. It's the same principle said differently, because he says, I'm waiting for the Lord. I have an expectation. And then he kind of maybe rephrases what he's waiting for, because actually I don't need a deliverance. Maybe he's not looking for a deliverance, because Psalm 130 is actually a quest for redemption. He's trying to get help from God. But he's also like rethinking and say, yes, I'm waiting for God, but I'm not necessarily waiting for God to do something about this. I'm just waiting for a word. See what he says in the part B. And in his word do I hope. Meaning that when I get the answer from God, which is not the answer to my question, it could be a word from him that has maybe nothing to do with my question, but I still got a word from him. So I got a word from him. I don't have my answers, but my hope was to get a word from him. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you've seen people who went through very difficult times, but they don't necessarily need a lecture. They just need to know you're there. And, you know, and that they can ask 100 questions next to you. Why did it happen to me? You know, things that could be different. And then they're talking and talking. You don't say anything, but you just give them a hug and you're next to them and you love them. You don't say a word. And that's, in a way, that's what we're saying. I don't have an answer for you, but I can point you to God. And that's what, I think that's what we're here for this morning. You see, we want to hear a word from God, and God will give us one. All right. Well, we thank you for, again, this service this morning. We pray for our pastor who is traveling and for a conference. And we ask you to bless Pastor Shibili as he's about to preach the word this morning. And we thank you, God, for your faithfulness. And we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
I told my wife last night, write on a piece of paper. Am I right? Remember, I said, go to my desk. Remember last night, and I said, write on a piece of paper two verses. What were they? Joshua what? 5:13 and 4. I said, write these. I can't. So I'm going to preach the message, but that was exactly what the Holy Spirit gave me last night. And I said, write it on a piece of paper so I don't forget it for tomorrow. I love you. I remember when, how old were you? 17 years old when you were on my porch. It was on my porch in Ghana at 17 years old. We were trying to figure out what he's going to do with his life. And I realized I can't figure out what I'm going to do. So how can I ever help? There was no answer. There was no answer. Thank you. That's awesome.
Romans 8:35-39, right? Okay, would you stand, please? And we'll read the Bible. If you could open your physical Bible or the app that you use, and we'll read the scriptures here. King James Version. Who shall separate us from, this is Romans 8, verse 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Okay, pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for our pastor and his ministry this morning in Costa Rica. We thank you for churches around Baltimore, the state of Maryland, around the United States and around the world, opening your word, hearing from the Spirit, preaching the truth in power. Thank you, Lord, for your love and the sound mind that you give us from the scriptures. Pray for Pastor Shibili right now. pray for his preaching this morning, the anointed message you've given him for this place. And we thank you, Lord, just for your covering on our church and our ministry and the light of life that you put in us. Bless us now as we concentrate the highest form of worship, concentrate on the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, good morning. You can sit down. Unless you want to stand the whole service, I don't know. They used to do that in Kirli and Dongo, a Sudanese refugee camp. There was, remember Pastor Eugene, there was no, yeah, you're over here. There was no chairs nor benches, so they would just stand for 2 hours. And that's encouraging to me, you know. So it was great. I want to speak about victory this morning. I've been thinking about how Satan has been defeated in the Bible. You can see this time and time again in Luke 10, 17 through 21. When they came back having great victory, the disciples, the apostles, they were sent out and they came back and they said, wow, even the devils were subject unto us. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning flash. That's, by the way, that's how quick he got kicked out of heaven. Like a flash of lightning, he was when he failed, he sinned, rebellion, bang, he was gone. Isn't that good? Yeah, just I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Just like a lightning flash, he was gone. And he said, but don't be so overjoyed that the spirits are subject unto you. Because that might happen today, but might not happen tomorrow. Rather rejoice in this, that your name is written in heaven. Amen? Amen. Say that, my name is written in heaven. Can you? Isn't that amazing? It could be written in a lot of other places. My name's been written in a lot of places. It's not some good, some not so good. But I'm glad that my name is written in heaven. So one who's been defeated, what do you think he would like to project at the church and at believers? Defeat, 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 that you don't have victory based upon circumstances, feelings, what we are experiencing in life, sight, and we can look at life, if we're not careful, if we're not doctrinal thinking Christians, we can look at life and we can see nothing but defeat because our eyes are in the wrong place. And so the enemy loves to project that. Remember 2 Corinthians 4:4, he blinds people's what? Minds to the glorious gospel. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the ruler, the prince of this world in John 13, 14, and 15. So he wants us to think and has devised a system called the world and using the old sin nature. By the way, my old sin nature doesn't think in victory. Hello? Your old sin nature doesn't talk about victory. That's why God crucified it. In Romans 6:6, it says the old man is what? Crucified. Galatians 6:14, God says he crucified the world. Revelation 12:7-10, they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives unto the death. They overcame. We're overcomers. Amen. We're victorious. The word, I was going to wear Nikes this morning, but I realized it wouldn't go well with the way I was dressed. Nikeo is the word for victory. And more than conquerors is huper Nikeo. I'm more than a conqueror. That means even when you think and it looks like I'm defeated, I'm never defeated. Are you with me? I don't know any defeat. Never defeated. I love it. Having ministered for 30 years plus, 31 years plus, in what I call war zones. You know, there's war zones. Africa, I'm not trying to give a bad rap to Africa. So if you're an African and you're here, don't come up to me after and say, like, why did you say that? You know, because there's war zones everywhere. Cambodia, Southeast Asia, whatnot. But having been ministering and been involved with church planting for over 30-something years in places that have nothing but trouble, war zones, you begin to understand the importance of you personally experiencing victory and then preaching a message of victory so that people don't walk around defeated because of poverty, illiteracy, and all kinds of upheavals and disease. It's very easy to take a negative attitude towards life. If you read the newspapers and listen to the news, you come away as Mr. or Mrs. Negativity. You just take a look and you go, oh, is that what's really going on? And you, by the way, you don't even know if that's even happening. Who knows if they don't just magnify everything? You know, some person helps a little lady across the street with her groceries. You never hear about that. You just hear about somebody who takes the groceries, you know, comes by and takes the groceries away or something, you know, or whatnot. You never hear about all the amazing things that Christians do and people do in this world. Are you with me? Pastor Steve Merlo used to always cut a whole portion of grass that belonged to my neighbor. I said, what are you doing? He said, I am doing something for him because I think God would have me to do this, cut his grass too. I say, well, while you're at it, you could paint this house too. Of course, you better get permission because it might be the wrong color. But I love it. I love what's being said here in this portion of Scripture. He says, in all these things. Now, let me say something about that. He didn't say avoiding all these things. Like a lot of Christians today, especially some of these movements that are going on today, they will tell you to do everything to get away from these things. But he says 18 things. From Romans 8, 35 to 39, he says, count it this afternoon if you don't believe me. I might be off by one or whatever. 18 things. He says, in these things, you are more than conquerors. So you have victory in them. I am, you know, I get tired sometimes or get a little bit weary with Christians who are always trying to get out of these things, thinking that's victory. And then they get out of something. It's like one time I said, I'm getting out of this job because the guy I'm working for in the prison is worse than the prisoners. And I got another job in another place, and that person was even worse than the person I had just left. Because God was trying to teach me something about in these what? In these things. And when, see, and Satan is always projecting and using the things to say defeat. When I say in these things, in this marriage, in this relationship, in this trial, in this test, in this problem, in raising these children, in this church, in my life, in my job, in my finances, in them, I'm more than a conqueror to him that loves me. Are you with me? And I think sometimes the running away causes just so much more. And I'm not saying if God takes something away, amen. And that's up to God. But I am not going to try to, you know, I thought about this in 1986. When I went to get a visa, or 88, something like that, I don't even remember. And the man said to me, first of all, I don't like Americans. Number two, I don't like Christians. And number three, looking at you, I don't like you. Because I heard you talking and you're very loud. I said, everybody's loud that can't hear well. And he said, you're not getting the visa, you're going home. I'm going to deport you. And I said to myself in a prayer meeting inside the bathroom, God, you have three choices. Send him to another country, convert him to being a Christian because he wasn't, or kill him. I'm not so sure. I'm not so concerned what you do. I'd like to see him get converted, actually. But whatever you got to do. And you know what? I went back about a month later. He was gone. He had been transferred to England. Hallelujah. That was victory, wasn't it? And so sometimes, you know, sometimes God will remove situations, but sometimes, or many times, God says, in these things, I want you to have victory. And he's talking to a church in Rome, which was, they say, 100 to 125 people, in the middle of 4 million people who worshiped Caesar. and it was idolatrous. You had to offer sacrifice to Caesar. And here they are, a very few of them. They were known by, as you've heard me say this before, the catacombs where they lived underground. There was thousands of them that lived underground, and by the Colosseum where they died. And this is what Paul is telling them. You're not getting out of Rome. Are you with me? Might not get out of my problem. Might not get out of... By the way, have you ever noticed that your old sin nature is not going anywhere? Huh? You ever ask God, how come when I got saved you didn't remove it? Because you'd float off to heaven in arrogance. Hmm? I'm such an amazing person. In these things. So God has left me in this world, and he's left the old sin nature in me, and he's left the devil here. What's the devil? The devil's in heaven, the devil's in the garden, the devil's in the world, the devil's in the church. Not this morning, he's not, okay? Are you listening? But in these things, we are more than conquerors. How? Through him who loves us. And this is amazing when you think about it. And rather than live constantly in defeat, having an attitude of defeat, that can be totally turned around and changed by having an attitude of victory. I am not just a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror, because when Napoleon was a conqueror, it was because he won victories. But we are conquerors even when it seems like we're not winning. Are you with me? More than a conqueror. That means in every situation, I am what? Victorious. I have victory. No, but the liar who's defeated loves to tell us, and the liar of the old sin nature and the liar of this world likes to tell us, oh, you look at this Christianity thing. Look at Christianity and what's going on. And it wants to project defeat. It takes things that happen in our lives and says, aha, you see, you sin, defeated. And I say, excuse me, but God doesn't see sin in me. God sees his son in me. I have what?
Victory.
Revelations chapters 2 and 3, 7 times it says, he that overcomes, he that has victory. He that has victory, and he gives them 7 rewards. Each church gets a different reward. And he says, he that overcomes. That means there's a possibility I can live in defeat. Or there is the better possibility of me living in absolute victory. Amen? Are you with me? When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, the person of God did the work of God, and only the person of God could do the work of God that would set me free. When he said, it is what?
Finished.
It is what?
Finished.
Tetelestai. Remember that group? Wasn't there a group called Tetelestai at one time? Tetelestai. And I love it, the tense that it's in, perfect indicative passive. It means it is finished, it's eternal, it's absolutely true, and you receive it freely. That's what that tense means. It's finished. Victory. Victory. I don't care what's going on. I'm struggling with my problem. I'm struggling in this situation. Okay, but struggle from a place of victory. And before you know it, it's like the struggle is not even there anymore. Hello? Victory. But the church today, and many people today, live defeated, or people are always projecting, you need to do this to experience victory. All I need to do is mix faith with my positional victory. Are you with me? I have what?
Victory.
I woke up this morning, my wife looked at me, she said, this is all wrong. The shirt's wrong, the pants are short, the tie is wrong. And the coat was wrong. Everything I put on was wrong. And I accepted that as not a defeat, but her victory. She said, this tie will go. I don't even know how to do that at all. This tie, and I had to, you got the wrong jacket on. It doesn't go. You got to have the gray one. She said to me, the black jacket's intimidating. I said, huh? She goes, yeah, you look more like approachable with that gray on. I'm like, I don't know. Does anybody know anything about that? I have no idea. She's talking about, actually. But I was defeated and she brought in the what?
Victory.
The victory. And you could say, I'm not so sure I like how you're dressing. I don't really care because if she likes it, that's all that counts. Right? That's all that matters, you know. For me, anyway. Absolute victory. And I love it. I was thinking about, I love when he got up and he read those verses today. Where'd you go? Oh, okay, you're over there. Can't see that far. I loved it. Because here's Joshua. And by the way, Joshua was a great warrior and a great battler. Just read Exodus 17. Why did God say to him and Moses say to him? They both said it to him. Deuteronomy 31 and Joshua 1. Be strong and of good courage. They said it 6 times. Why would you say that to Joshua? Because Joshua had courage to lead in battle. But Joshua didn't have courage to lead the nation. To take Moses's. How would you like to take Moses's place? After you've seen what he did, opening up holes in the ground, Korah and company go down. All the rebellious people go down, huh? His sister gets leprosy because she attacked her brother. And Aaron got spared. How'd you like to follow him? Oh, my God. You know? Oh, my God. You know? I'm so thankful that Pastor Schaller is the pastor. I would have been a little afraid to follow Pastor Stevens a little bit, you know? No, that's okay. I shouldn't project that. But really, it's amazing. And I find sometimes when I go to countries and I start churches, the next person coming is always a little bit like fearful. I'm not saying that's wrong or anything. It's good to have that kind of edge, that you're just a little bit fearful because now you're going to depend upon God and rely upon God. But Joshua is there, and I love what he said. He didn't answer. He just said no, right? Nay. Is that the Swedish version? Nay. But you know what's interesting? He asked him, are you for us or for our adversaries? He said, no. Now, that would have made me question something. Excuse me. You're not for us. I mean, you're not for them. I can understand that part. You're not for us? No? It's interesting the word he used. I've come as captain of the host. The word is S-A-R in Hebrew. It means I've come as your head. I'm not for you. I am you. Isn't that what God says to us? I'm not for you. I'm living in you. Hello? Victory. Absolute victory. 1 John 2:13 and 14 says they overcame by the word. By the what? What's that word in Luganda? What's the word victory in Luganda? Huh? I can't hear you. Buangusi? Wow. Those are people from our Uganda church, our Greater Grace Uganda church, but now they're in Baltimore. Wow. Victory. Victory. I've come. I'm victorious. And I live in you. I'm not just for you. I am living in you. Can you hear that? I'm not just for you, Christian, or for you, church. The Spirit's in the believer and the Spirit's in the church. I'm not just for you. I have decided to make my home in you. Regardless of you. Isn't that something? Huh? So he says they overcome in 1 John 2:13 and 14. Young men, and I think older men too. Because I think we're all young compared to God. He's eternal. You overcame by the word. So 1 John is telling us about victory. You overcame by the word. Then he says in chapter 4, verse 4, and we know this verse for years, greater is he who's in me, that's the Spirit, than he that's in the world. You know, devil and demons and politics and the world and evil and crime and drugs and wars and rumors of wars. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Are you with me? Or we walk around going, oh, woe is me. What a wicked world we live. God knows that. Just read Genesis chapter 6 long ago. Every imagination of every thought of every man was only evil continually. Wow. That's evil, huh?
Genesis 6. Greater is he that's what? In me than he that's in the world system, Satan. Then 1 John 5, 4 and 5 says, who is he that overcomes? He that believes. The word, the spirit, and faith. And we experience this incredible victory. I'm not going to live a defeated life. I may be the least in my family, but God has called me. My name is Gideon, and I'm going to gather 300 people and defeat 135,000 Midianites. That's just not some fabricated story. That's the truth of the Bible. Are you with me? Sometimes we think these stories are fabrications. We may not say it with our mouth, but I wonder what we really think. 300 men sent 135,000 Midianites fleeing? Why? Because Gideon received victory in his nature, and then he promoted victory, he encouraged victory, he developed victory and a spirit in people, and they had what? They had what? I told somebody the other day, repeat after me. Not going to die.
Not going to die.
Not going to... No. That's definitely Texas. No, I said, you know what? How are you thinking? No. I'm sick and the end is near. No. No. 88-year-old Pastor Winfred Morty. I met him at the convention this year. Last year I saw him, or 6 months ago I saw him. He was on his deathbed. They said, it's over. Come and pray for him that he has a good and easy passage into heaven. This year he's standing at the convention in the Shama. 88 years old, and he goes, and he had a hat, big hat on. He looks so interesting. Big hat, and he goes, I'm here. I said, rumored to have been dead. He goes, not going to die. Not going to die. I said, you going back to your village? He goes, no, I've decided to go with my daughter, and she's going to take care of me a bit, but I'm going to be involved with pastoring a new church. At 88? At 88, he's got a vision. Hello? You got that, George Hayes? You're not even close to that age yet, all right? You're far from the... He's got a vision at 88 years old. This is encouraging to me. Hello? You know, it's also encouraging to me. I went out with the sixth graders on Evangelism Friday, right? Yeah, it was awesome. Not only did we get a lot to eat, we gave out a lot of tracts. Yeah, they got some good stuff in the market. It's French fries. All the stuff that's bad for you. I had cake, French fries, everything that can, you know, kills most people. I'm afraid to change my diet because my body would start screaming, what are you putting in us now? What are you putting in me now? Well, yeah, it was victorious. A woman came to me. She said, wow. I said, wow, what? She goes, wow, these children are in a Christian school, these young children, and they are evangelizing in the Northeast market? She goes, wow, why doesn't my church do that? I said, don't ask me. Ask your pastor. But you know what? That was what? Victory. Amen? Victory. Experiencing victory. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Are you with me? Huh? Now, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest his savor in every place. Victory. Victory now, victory always, and victory in every place. Every place you go. In your home, victory. Shoveling snow that's not going to come, victory. All right? Victory at work. Victory in your marriage. Victory in relationships. Not living defeated lives. Here they were, and they were facing the Philistines and Goliath of Gath, who had five brothers as big as he was, and the whole nation's trembling. Remember those old Don Knotts movies? Some of you that remember that, Don Knotts was always shaking. He was always afraid. His fear would make him shake. And they're all trembling. And this little guy comes up and says, what's going on here? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who would challenge the armies of the living God? 17 years old. Imagine that. And by the way, he ran to fight him. He ran. And then he killed him. He put the stone, the only place he could go, in the helmet, there was one opening. He put the stone right there, and he had the other five stones in case Goliath's brothers tried something. He planned to kill all of them. You know why? David was raised in victory. He didn't know defeat. And I'm not talking about being hyper-spiritual. I'm talking about having a mental attitude of victory. God gives us the whole armor of God. Amen? You know why? He's talking about the wiles of the devil, principalities, powers, spiritual rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, the evil day, and fiery darts. Seven things he says in Ephesians chapter 6. So he says you need the what? Whole armor of God. Nothing for the backside. Are you with me? The whole armor of God. And he says, take it and put it on. Taking it is grace, putting it on is faith. Because you're going to go against the enemy. The enemy loves to have this projection that he doesn't exist. You know how the newspapers and the magazines and the news media always portray him with a pitchfork and big ears and a long tail? Satan laughs at that. He goes, that's not even me. That's nothing. I am in the system. I'm a genius, and I'm not trying to give him credit. But we have victory. Absolute victory. This is what the cross did. This is what the blood did. This is what the finished work did. What am I going to do? Live in something less than that? And if I do, I've got mercy that's victorious over sin and judgment. Amen? As believers, the Church of America, are they living in finished work victory thoughts? God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are what? Higher than your thoughts. I know the thoughts I think towards you, they are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in the outcome, Jeremiah 29, 10 and 11. This is victory. My thinking, it begins in my thinking. So I wake up in the morning and go, oh. I didn't wake up in the morning. I woke up at 3:40. That's when I had that verse, but I just lied there saying, I'm not getting out of bed now. Did you ever have that feeling? Like you wake up and you just say, I'm not getting out of bed now. Yeah, I did. It was that sin. I don't know what it was. No. But victory. And it starts in the thinking process. That's why we need doctrine. That's why we need church. That's not why we need to read our Bible, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. This week on Tuesday night, we're teaching homiletics. You're all invited. Sorry. I should have asked permission. So I'm going to be defeated. Could they come? Thank you. Okay. See how simple that was? We're going to be talking about meditation, the importance of preparation and meditation for preaching. Right? And everybody's welcome on Friday night to the 2 Timothy class. But living in victory. And not receiving all these projections that come our way that we're not going to make it. It's not going to work. You know what? Sometimes, by the way, has your physical body ever talked to you? Hello? Right? We were born the same day, right? Yeah, November 6th, right? Yeah, our physical body talks to us sometimes. And I say, shut up! Especially when I put my socks on. The left sock is still a problem. And I say, left sock, left foot, you're stupid. Get right with God. Okay? And then you just got to go through it. You talk to yourself, right? I can do that. I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengthens me. So Paul says, you know, and because we have lived defeated lives, we won't enter the race and the fight. When we think defeated, when the race is to be run and the fight is to be fought, we do not get involved. By the way, Paul talked a lot about fighting and races. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, he's talking about a gospel race and a gospel fight. Philippians 2:16, he's talking about running a race with the word of life. Philippians 3:13, he says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's running a finished work race. Galatians 2:2 and 5:7, he's talking about the race of grace. Hebrews 12:1, he's talking about running the race, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's always talking about fighting and racing. 2 Timothy 2:5, 2 Timothy 4:7, at the end of his life, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness to all those who love his appearing. This is God. He says, don't be afraid to get in the race and get in the fight. I grew up never running from a fight. Never did. Can I honestly say that? Wasn't saved, but every time it was time for a fight, I wanted to be there. Win or lose, it didn't matter to me. Never lost either, but win or lose, it didn't matter. By the way, you always bring weapons bigger than the other guy has. And that's scriptural. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Victory thinking. I'm not going to walk around moping. I'm a denier. I walked with him for 3.5 years. I'm a denier. He says in Acts 3:14, you denied the Lord. I'm a doubter. I'm going to be a doubter the rest of my life. I'm going to just think doubt and talk doubt and express doubt. No, I'm going to go to India as a missionary. His name is Thomas. Are you with me? Thinking in victory. Having victory thought life, which will produce victory decisions, which will produce a victory soul and a self-image that's dipped in God having won. Amen? We once had a message in West Africa called, Jesus wins, I am in, no more sin. I like that. Jesus wins, I am in him, no more sin. Victory. And we look, we see the world, and we take a look at a country or a city or something, and we just think defeat. And I think victory. I think one person. I met a man on evangelism on Saturday. And who was I with? I was with, Tim who? Tim LaRose. And he was talking to this man, and we just had this greatest time, and the guy started crying. Just about, you know, like how hurting he was and how many things have happened in his life. And we just prayed with him, and it was amazing. And you know, you can just think negativity. And negative thinking produces, I think there's a lot of diseases that are produced by negative thinking. I can't prove it, but I think it. Negative thinking, just constantly thinking in the negative all the time. Always looking at the glass is half full or half empty. It's half full. Thinking with God. And not the power of that stupid positive thinking. Not that movement. But the power of thinking with God. And believing God. I never entered a sports contest thinking I was going to lose. Right, Pat? We don't go into a game thinking we're going to lose. You already lost before you stepped on the court. You go in thinking you've won. And that's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. You know what Paul says in the Greek language there? Run as though you've won. If you're in a race and you're lined up against 10 people, and you know you've already won the race before you start, it's pretty easy, isn't it? You know you've got the victory already. You got the crown. You got the trophy. You got the prize. Because we think victoriously. This is how Caleb said. They come back and they say, giants, walled cities, this is crazy. We're going to be eaten up. He says, they're bread for us. That's my lunch. Those people are my lunch. We are well able to go up. And you know what? One man could have turned it around, but they didn't listen to him. They listen to the majority, which is always wrong. Sorry. No, if we all vote to start the church at a different time, the majority will be right. So I don't want to refute that little piece of paper. But it's amazing. They wouldn't listen to Caleb. He was all heart. His name means all heart or attack dog. I like both of them. I told you the story how I bit a dog once. Yeah. Dog was always bothering me, and one day I got him on the ground and bit him. Never bothered me again. I was only 14. And I didn't get rabies. I gave it to him. No. Victory! Victory! Say it. Victory. Say, I know no defeat. I'm not going to think in defeat. I'm not going to believe defeat. I'm going to live in the victory of the cross. I'm going to live in the victory of the Son of God. I'm going to live in the victory of the Word, the victory of the Spirit, the victory of grace, the victory of God in all these what? In it. Not trying to avoid it, but in it. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Father, thank you today. Thank you. Thank you for victory. 2 Chronicles 20:20, they said, we have no might. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's victory. Victory. We're in a race and we're in a fight. We got the armor on. We thank you for victory. Thank you. I'm not going to receive projections from the enemy, from my old sin nature, from the world. I know no defeat. I do not know defeat. Not hyper-spiritual, I'm just saying what the scriptures say. More than conquerors through Him who loves us. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Have a happy attitude. So we thank you today. If you're watching on the internet or you're here, you've never received Christ. You probably don't know what I'm talking about this morning. But by receiving Christ, it can begin to sink in, be brought home. That Christ won a victory over sin, the old sin nature, evil, at the cross. He won the victory. It is finished. Well, if it is finished, I'm never finished. Never defeated. Because it is finished. He won an eternal victory. For you and for me. So if you've never received Christ as your Savior, say, Jesus, save me today. I believe in the victory that's been won. Be merciful to me. And thank you for the victory of the cross and the blood. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, if you're on the internet, just put your hand up. Acknowledge it to God. Jesus, save me. Salvation is of God. It's not of a church. It's not of baptism. It's not of being a member. Salvation is by the work of Jesus on the cross. We thank you today. We thank you. For we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. They love not their own lives unto the death. We thank you for victory. Thank you for Daniel's victory in the lion's den. The Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. We thank you for victory. The victory of Benaiah, 2 Samuel 23. Joshua, victory to victory. Thank you that that's what we live in. Because that's who we are in Christ. We thank you today. Bless our service today, our second service to follow. Church tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.